Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Asgard Sigma. This is the premiere episode of Roleplay Swan Song Stories. I'm so excited to be back. I miss the Swan Song so much. I'm joined today by our soon-to-be mercenaries, Jeff, Wheat, Caitlin. Hey, everybody. Long time no see, Caitlin. How's it going?
We'll see each other again shortly.
Yeah. How's everybody doing? It's been a really awesome. Long time. I was lamenting before we came back from the countdown that I haven't had anyone to talk to about movies in like weeks, and it's driving me crazy.
Jeff, well, Adam,
would you like to begin? What you been doing, Jeff?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. I mean, you had West Marches, Adam. I've been hello from the other side this entire time. I've just been like, hello from the non-roleplay side, and done. It's nice. It's nice to finally be back into the role play drug. But yes, off the joke about me not doing shows, let's talk about fucking movies. Yeah, so I saw X-Men. Now let me get a little bit of the rant out of the way. A little bit. So for a lot of people, I think, say 70% of people are going to go see this movie, and they're going to come away probably a little bit disappointed and probably not like it that much. I don't think they're going to hate it. I don't think it's that kind of movie. I think there's enough of it that you're going to like. But does it live up to Civil War? Is it even as good as the previous X-Men First or Next Generation or whatever the fuck they're called? Not really. And I think mostly that's because for one of the first times for me, and let me explain again, I think Apocalypse is one of the biggest pieces, one of the worst executed art films movie ever. I think he was
damn ever.
In terms of movies
in the top of the in the yeah. top of that yeah
movies no, that I care about. Obviously, there's going to be some shitty movies out there where the villain was worse. But for me, I cared about X-Men. I grew up on this. My childhood. This is right in my wheelhouse of sci-fi and all that stuff. He was so bad, like so vacantly, horrifically bland.
Come on, man. His Apocalypse is awesome. Don't you remember how his superpower is that he is a 3D printer? It's the best X-Men superpower there is.
Well, that's not the excuse. So, like, Apocalypse throughout all of the comics and lore and everything has always just been like, and now he's doing this, and everyone just kind of goes, yeah, he probably got that at some time. You know, like, that's fine. And I understand it's hard to do in movies, but, like, it was just so bad. But what was redeeming for this movie, and I actually came away from it really liking the movie. Like, I'm not going to go see it five times type of thing. I'm not going to buy the Blu-ray DVD type of thing. But I had a good time, and I liked it. And it's for very simple reasons I think people are going to find common with themselves. Quicksilver needs his own goddamn movie. I could watch 4.5 straight hours. I'm talking Braveheart.
They did him really well.
I read that his good. I read that his sequence, he was on set longer than any other actor in the show because his sequence took 3.5 months to film. And that just that piece. And
it was worth it.
Yeah, it was totally good. Like, I didn't think that. I was like, oh, okay, they're gonna do the fast running slow-mo thing again and whatever, we've seen this. And even though it was basically the same thing, I think they got what was funny and cool about it the first time, and they're like, all right, let's just like do twice as much of that. And yeah,
it's funny. I feel like they bring in another director because, like, it's not just the concept. The concept's incredible, the execution's incredible, the filming's incredible. The writing of it, it's just the right amount of cheeky funniness. There's like cleverness. He's throwing them into a blanket that's hanging off of the, you know, the trees. Like, that's, it's just like really clever, interesting, well done. So fucking good. Cause I feel like it has to be another director, because then the other guy is just like, well, you know, he's talking to whoever played Apocalypse and just like, in this scene, you're looking for another top notch mutant and you're just going to take the first motherfucker you find. And when they're like, I'm not strong enough, I want you to look at them and be like, well, you will be. And then that's the whole scene. And I want you to do that. It was so bad. But anyways, so Quicksilver, we all know that because his other appearance is just incredible as well. Like, that, give us a movie of that, please. I actually really like Magneto. I love the guy that plays him, Fassbender, does such a fucking good job. And
he looks
how Magneto should look. Magneto's always been this very dynamic villain, like really good friends with Xavier, but at the same time willing to destroy humanity.
I want the X-Men storyline where Magneto retreats to an asteroid and has his like cult, and he like is weird Magneto Jesus. I want that shit. I want the asteroid.
I'll get there eventually, probably. But like, and I actually in the theater too, and this was like, so he has this spoiler alert. For, I mean, we're talking about the movie, guys. So if this is gonna upset you, like, get out here. I'm not gonna tell you the final scene or something like that, but. Just gonna be spoilers, but like
this scene
where he's got his loving family, he's in Poland working a blue collar job. I leaned over to Anna and I said something along the lines of like, okay, this is all gonna go to shit. Like, protect yourself, because the way they did it even surprised me. And I again, no spoiler on how they did it, but it's like it's so Requiem for a Dream Hollywood, like over the top emotional, that it's just like
I believe there is that like shot from above on his knees going no, like I think there that yes. exact scene is in there. So yeah,
have you not seen it?
I have, but like okay. that's the thing, right? Like that's the yeah. ultimate cliche. He does the Darth Vader,
of course, but for why he does it is what's so funny. But anyways, Magneto huge, and then I thought they did. I really like. Like, I like the first Nightcrawler. I thought he was fantastic, but they're going with the revamped new young everybody. Nightcrawler was awesome. I liked their introduction to everybody's favorite good old boy, Cyclops.
Like, God, fuck Cyclops. He's the worst. I hate him so much.
As a character, he is the worst. But this guy was pretty okay, I thought. So all the new characters, and they're very much so, this is a setup movie where they're like, this is the X-Men going forward, and they're led by Mystique, which is you know, different. But awesome. I'm okay with it. Jennifer Lawrence is doing an incredible job as her, I thought. I do want to say, I think, what's her name? Sophie Lauren or something like that,
Sansa Stark.
Anyway, Sansa, yeah. I think this movie, we'll see, and it's obviously I'm that person who on Twitter she would block because this is way too judgmental to say, but I think she might be kind of a vacant actress. Like, her playing Sansa, I was like, Sansa's supposed to be a bit of an idiot and kind of like aloof, but then she plays Jean Grey, who's supposed to be one of the most powerful minds on the planet. And every scene, she's like, if they get to Xavier, we're all dead. And she's like, he's dying.
It suffered a little bit from the problem that a lot of movies that have a lot of characters in them do, where it's like, okay, you only get like 35 minutes or whatever of Sansa Grey getting to talk. So yeah, a lot of her scenes were just her reacting to stuff, which made it kind of hard.
She's young. She's 20 years old, and she's her like two roles that she's known for are fucking Game of Thrones and now X-Men as Jean Grey. So it's like, it's a lot. But anyways, that was like my little critique. But I can't wait. I liked it.
Yeah,
but I liked it despite the fact that Apocalypse was fucking horrible, absolutely terrible.
It's a fucking shame.
I mean, I think like look at what they're up against, right? Like, it's an interesting time to be making superhero movies, and the X-Men franchise has been at it for, like, I would argue maybe long enough. It's looking a little, little gray in the temples. Maybe it might be time for it to stop making movies. You know, but they're up against Marvel, like you said. Like, it's a bad time to release like a big superhero
cast
movie up against. You're right. Yeah, sure. Up against Captain America, which, you know, was such a big deal to release X-Men around the same time. It's a big...
And to your point, by the way, which I think is interesting, this is another thing I talked with Anna about kind of walking out of this. And this is going to be... We're not going to say it, I guess. No! We'll do the thing, because I want to talk about it. But listen, the power level in these movies got ramped up so fucking quick, Like, you know, the gauntlet is in Guardians of the Galaxy, like, and they're going to do crossovers with that. Now in X-Men, they went from Apocalypse. Okay, so here's the gap. If you haven't seen the movie or you don't care, I'm about to talk about the guy who they hint at the end of it. Here's your warning. You can't be mad. Anyways, at the end of it, they hit at my favorite villain in all of stuff, Mr. Sinister. And he's not the highest level, obviously, because he's, you know, of course he has all the god powers like every other top-notch mutant, but he's like, he's based on Earth at least. But it just keeps ramping up to like, they're like, the older X-Men movies you were talking about all were like pretty okay, and then all of a sudden Phoenix, and it's like, oh Jesus Christ, like all the world can die. And then this third movie, they actually already fucking did that too. But the power level is ridiculous, and I agree with you. All the movies are like, no, our guy's the god monster now, and now we're facing the universe getting destroyed.
Someday we'll live in a universe in which Marvel more or less owns all of their properties, and they'll just reboot the whole thing from the beginning, and we'll get a movie
like the new
Avengers or whatever, and it'll be like Hulk and Black Panther and Wolverine and fucking Spider-Man, right? And it'll just be like, I don't know, here, we have the whole stable to choose from.
Yeah.
And that'll happen. But for now, we're kind of contending with, like these sort of pseudo competing. And then they'll just keep remaking Fantastic Four over and over and over until
we
kill ourselves or them.
They should just, in Deadpool, they should just make a joke about killing that franchise just or something. Just get it's just every one of them. Because they're going to have to remake it again. Like the next, they're not. There is another movie planned, I think, actually, already. Isn't there? Fantastic Four 2.
Oh, Fantastic Four 2, yeah.
I think so, and I think they're using the same cast. But anyways, it's just terrible.
Are you serious?
I saw that on the schedule, I thought. Pretty sure. It did really bad, too, so it must have been predetermined.
Yeah, what a shame.
I gotta look.
Can we talk about the one I watched?
Yeah, I was gonna say. So, Caitlin, you saw Captain America. You saw that. What did you think? How did you feel about that movie?
I liked that one so much, but I liked Captain America's friend. What was his name? His like war friend.
He has so many.
War Machine.
Winter Soldier.
I think his name is War Friend. Actually, you mean Bucky?
Yeah, Bucky.
Captain America has too many friends, though. Apparently, not for long, because I heard he was a Nazi now. I heard that was.
That was weird.
But yeah.
Well, he's a Hydra agent, is what they came out and said in the lore.
Yeah.
Captain America.
Caitlin has never seen a Marvel movie prior to this. Yeah. JP's girlfriend explained to me everything that was going on. Although that's not true. I watched all of the Iron Man ones. I like those ones a lot because, like, engineers. But yeah, I like Bucky a lot. But so Aaron told me that this movie was supposed to be like Bucky's movie, kind of. So I guess he's not really in the other ones.
He's Winter Soldier. He's the main villain in it.
He's sort of the reluctant bad guy in the second Captain America.
Okay, then I'm gonna watch that for sure. So I'll just watch them all.
Yeah, Bucky's story is kind of interesting. I feel like Civil War was a little weird because it really boiled down to like you could just have a conversation about this and not all fight each other, but then we wouldn't get a movie. So
I thought they did a good job though of like because we know there's not going to be a scene where Iron Man puts a missile through Captain America and just blows his head off or something like that. Like, but the fight still felt fairly genuine. Like they weren't obviously fighting to kill each other, but it was like they used their powers. I think that was also, and I'm sure everyone's going to agree, that was the best Spider-Man we've seen in movies, post cartoons or comic ever. Yeah. So good.
Well, I think we talked about this exact thing back when fucking the atrocity of Batman versus Superman came out, where it's like, we didn't need the whole origin story. And in fact, you know, in the scene, like Tony Stark just keeps interrupting Peter Parker before he can tell. He's like, well, yeah. I got, and they're like, no, I don't care. I don't care about it. No one cares. Shut up. Like, just put the costume on. Let's do the thing. And it felt, I don't know, it felt really good. It was like a nice way to rush through it without also being like, you know, flippant about it. Yeah. I
thought it was the hot aunt stuff was weird. Like they have this woman play, you know, his aunt. And she just looks ridiculous. But then they make jokes about it in movie and it's like, what? Did she have to be in the movie? Or did you think this was a cheap joke to make or something like that? But in all Spider-Man lore, she's like kind of a grandma.
She's so old. I was really confused too. I thought like, because I hadn't seen it for so long. I was like, I guess they changed something because this is what I remember watching. But
yeah, it's the youngest actor that's ever played Spider-Man. So it makes sense that Aunt May would also be really young. But Marissa Tomei is younger, I think, than Aunt May is in the
Marissa Tomei is actually, I think, pretty old now.
Maybe 40-something.
No, we don't call that old around here.
50, you really?
No.
She's 51, dude.
Jesus Christ.
In the movie.
I heard that in the... So they're making another Spider-Man movie, and I heard that AMA was going to be played by Megan Fox in that movie.
Then it's going to also
be...
Ninja Turtle and a Spider-Man. You know, finally the crossover we've all been not ever wanting.
But hey, as long as Megan Fox has like a repairing motorcycle scene and some really
weird,
suggestive nephew aunt sexual tension, I would love that. Like,
you can web sling into my bedroom later. And he's like, but you're my aunt. She's like, twice removed, dude. It's fine.
Oh my god.
Oh dear. Yeah.
Can't do any worse than a dance scene in a Spider-Man movie.
So the problem isn't that that Aunt May was young, or we're not. I don't think it's reasonable necessarily that Marissa Tomei is like old, but it's just not what we expect from the comics, because for some reason in the comics she's like 1,000 years old, like she's like hovering on the brink of death at any moment in the comics.
Well, though that's part reason, of the appeal, I think.
Through a window and be fine.
Yeah, she's defenseless and like in
part of the her appeal. Come on, no one has ever like no one ever said, I really prefer my Spider-Man Aunt May's, you know, the older Aunt
May. Okay, he was the wrong word.
I
mean,
I don't think no one.
Like, it's just no one. Or it's that she's like, like Adam described, she's supposed to be like vulnerable, like very. That's not to say that you can't be a demon.
So the irony is that, yeah, she's supposed to be vulnerable, but like she gets punched in the head by Green Goblin like all the fucking time and is fine.
Okay,
like,
well, that's not going to happen in the movies. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well, except if it's the Megan Fox version, then there's probably like a bikini
fight. Still won't happen.
I mean, it's not like they decided to kill Aunt May and Uncle Ben was the, you know, the guy around. It's not like they fucked with it that much. So.
No, I know. It's not the biggest complaint. It was just weird to me that they made like several jokes about her being hot in the movie. It was a movie making fun of itself, which, you know, it's fine. It's not even a critique. It was just kind of like a, because I think everyone wanted to get through that scene really quick. That scene is so that the next movie doesn't have to have an hour of that shit. So that's 100%.
It's a good point. Yeah.
At the Spider-Man movie, and it's called Homecoming, you're not going to be told that he was bit by a spider. You're not going to be shown his uncle. Well, maybe like in a dream state, like kind of like the Batman movies have, but there's not going to be an hour of them establishing that. I don't even need to do that.
I can handle that 90-second conversation where they're looking at photographs and they reflect for a moment, and then
I expected a little Uncle Ben in that scene, right? Like because he was just almost like, if they were teasing it, right? That Spider-Man was almost like, yeah, but great power, but Tony Stark's like, I'm not having it.
He should be played by Chris Hemsworth, and it should be like this weird scene where he's like barely walking out. He's like, I'm really tired from work, and a guy like bumps into him and shoots him in the head.
Awesome. Right, yeah. Chris Hemsworth.
His shirt blows off. He's like, oh no.
Yeah, for some reason, Uncle Ben is shirtless the whole movie. It's weird.
Well, I mean,
it's a hot summer in Queens.
It's Chris Hemsworth. And then you know what you do? You cap it off with, she fucking, the Marissa Tomei reminisces about when Uncle Ben was alive, and there's like a hot, passionate flashback sex scene between. I'm so sick, dude.
You know what? I think it would be really good for movies if there was a passionate sex scene flashback between Marissa Tomei and Chris Hemsworth. I think that'd be good for everybody. I think that's the scene we deserve.
And it's like under the premise, like the director's like, look, like older people have sex too. They're like, Chris Hemsworth's like 29 or 30. He's like, yeah, but Mr. Tomei is like,
dude, the flashback is like 45 minutes long, and it's just, yeah, just Peter Parker standing there listening to his Aunt May talk about bone.
What about Preacher?
I was going to say, you get your moment in the sun here. Let's talk about Preacher.
Yeah.
I've been rereading the comics. They're way more fucked up than I remember when I read them. Like, I forgot.
They're so fucked up.
They're fucked up to be fucked up. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
So fucked up.
So did you watch, though?
I didn't get to watch it, no.
Okay.
But I'm okay with you talking about it. I mean, I asked everyone about it. They said that it was obviously a setup episode, but a lot of people who didn't read the comics were interested in seeing more. So I think that's, as far as a TV execution or something like that, that's a good thing to hear.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like the pilot, but coming out of the pilot, all I have is a bunch of theories. It's basically like this show could either still be really fucking bad or it could actually be fucking awesome. And so they've gone into it. They've sort of like straight up come out and said, yo, this is what we changed between the characters, like right away. So they didn't try to hide it or
If anyone, what did they change? Well, basically, they diverted from the comic, is what I heard.
Tulip and Jesse had a really, like, an obvious, super serious, long time relationship before they get back together, and that's the basis of everything that happens. In TV world, Tulip and Jesse, obviously something happened between them, but it doesn't seem like it's that super strong bond that they had before, which makes sense because they will probably build that throughout the show because, you know, you need that to be a television show. I can be okay with. What's interesting is, like, as a comic reader, Jeff, they've thrown a bunch of stuff out there without context to a viewer, but there's context to a comic book reader, right? So all of my questions are they going to explain who those two people are? Are they going to explain what that force is? Are they going to explain, you know, X, Y, and Z? Because if they do, then it will be fucking awesome.
There's so much stuff in those comics that just will never make it to a TV screen. Like, just never. Yeah. Like, I don't know how I forgot, but I was reading it last night and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, they'll never put this on TV, which is like kind of a shame.
Does it have to be a hair star?
Yeah, basically everything about that character.
What, hair star?
Yeah.
Dude.
He gets raped, and that's why he has, like, a sexual deviancy throughout the entire story.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird shit that goes on in that.
Wheat reads a lot of that stuff, right? The one Good Life comic.
What? Yeah, Crossed. I like the crazy shit, for sure. I definitely...
No, I mean, it doesn't get much more crazy than Preacher, I think. I mean, obviously it does, but not much more. There's some fucked up stuff in there. That's part of what made it interesting that they were going to make this into a show.
You know? Is Preacher more fucked up than Crossed?
Not, well, in a different way. Like, Preacher is sort of like, yo, do you want to see what humanity would be like if you stripped away, you know, humanity? And Preacher is more like, hey, do you want a really fucking wild take on religion?
Yes. And
a lot of other crazy shit around it, right? You know?
An anti-hero with the ability to tell people to do whatever they want.
Well, I mean, that was sort of a thing that was popular when those comics were out, right? Like, we had, like, Dogma at the end of the 90s and Preacher and all the stuff with Hellblazer. And, like, you know, kind of doing, like, religious satire was, like, a thing. But, yeah, Preacher, it does, like, reading it, there's parts of it that I don't think age well, and I'm hoping that they can kind of polish those off because it does feel very, like, and this is a little bit, like, oh, it's all in your face. Like, oh, I'm saying bad words and harsh stuff is happening. Sometimes it works, and other times it's just like he's throwing shit at the wall and hoping it'll...
Yeah.
Well, you know, my other theory, Adam, is that I think that they might be doing a slow burn these first few episodes before they truly drop anything crazy. Like, you know, the fact that Cassidy is a vampire is, you know, I mean, that's... To a normal viewer, like, they think they're watching a show about a preacher, and then all of a sudden there's a fucking vampire. Like, they kind of...
And it's blasé, too. They don't even...
Right? Yeah, so it will be interesting to see once they're in, you know, they've sped up a little bit and things get rolling, because...
It's interesting, too, because the whole, like, Jesus is incest for 10,000 years or whatever and is a complete mental retard by the time they get to him. And then he ends up dying by being flattened by the fat Pope, who's like 800 pounds of greed.
That would be awesome.
I wonder if in that little convolution of events, if... Because in America, actually, Christians are, at least media-wise, fairly okay to poke fun at. There's certain groups you just don't poke fun at because they go to war pretty quick. Christians, you'll have a couple of old people from the South on camera pretty quick, but other than that, whatever.
I mean, all we can really do is, like, watch and see, right? Like, after an episode or two, it's hard to say where it's going to go. Who would have known, right?
Yeah,
like, all of the shows that we like, they don't pick up steam for the first little while. So
I'm intrigued, though. It's interesting that someone read through this comic and was like, let's fucking make this into a show. I mean, like,
fuck yeah.
A lot of people are excited about it, understandably, but it's also going to be some incredible hurdles to like, they are just going to have to just not have scenes. There's just a lot of them. A lot of scenes are just not going to be in there.
Yeah, well, that's the sort of price that has to get paid to make something into a TV show, right?
I agree. I mean, but
not the same with Walking Dead.
A lot of Preacher is those scenes, though, is what's interesting. Like, you can take a zombie, like Marcus' example, Walking Dead. There's going to be some gross stuff in that. And obviously in the comics, they delve deeper into the darker. But you still get a pretty close representation of what you're trying to tell. Preacher, there's a lot of just like, this is so fucked up. And that's who that person is. And that's how fucked up they are that they're not going to talk about or show.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, I think
I have faith.
Probably at time.
All right. Probably
at time, gentlemen. So, Caitlin, this is what happens at the beginning of Swan Song sometimes.
Oh, I know. I've watched.
It's been a long ass time. So, thanks for indulging us in our moment of talking about movies.
Let's do it, Adam. But what the hell are we doing?
Let's play some Swan Song stories. So, for folks who are maybe not familiar with the idea of kind of what we want to accomplish here on the Swan Song Stories, what we're going to do is, this is the first of what hopefully will be a series of shorter campaigns about different corners of the universe that Swan Song is set in. Because as we played through the first 50 episodes of Swan Song, there's a lot of places that we would just sort of touch on for a minute and then wander away to follow the ship on its adventures. So we wanted to do a series where we could kind of go back and explore in a few episodes some of the stuff that maybe we didn't get to take a closer look at. So this is going to be, this first story, as I'm sure you can all tell by now, is going to be a little trip into the past of Mr. Sicarian. So it's going to take place, I think 10 years or so in the past from the beginning of Swan Song, and as you'll come to see, it takes place during the first civil war on Oninsa. So this is kind of where Sicarian cut his teeth and where some of the stuff that would come to light in Swan Song got started out. So let's just start as we usually do. We'll start with the action, and we can get to know our characters as we play. So Our establishing shot is night, right? We see in the distance, we're in some sort of like a desert terrain with some mountainous areas in the background. And in the distance, we can see a city that's obviously been under some significant attack, right? The buildings are looking kind of crumbled. There's light, but there's also, you know, pillars of smoke coming up from the city in the distance. There's fires burning there. It's an obvious war zone. Maybe we see some like tracer fire over the hills. And as we pan down to the sort of foreground, to what we see that's close to us, we see first a matte black grav tank. And of course the grav tank is on fire. It's tilted over on one side. There's a big burning fire.
So it begins.
And yeah, and so we hear, as we get closer to it, we can hear shouting. The shouting is predominantly in Japanese, but we don't get subtitles for it. And we pan across and we can see some bodies. There's obviously been like an ambush or an attack, and there are some soldiers lying kind of face down on the ground, some of them like missing limbs. And we pan across to near the grav tank, we can see a group of soldiers crouched behind some cover. There's maybe like a building that's partially collapsed, and we can see the PCs crouched behind it. So when we see you, let's see what the characters all look like. Do you want to reintroduce us to Mr. Sicarian, Jeff? What do we see in this scene? You're surrounded by enemies. You and your men are pinned down. You're in the middle of a mission. What is Mr. Sicarian doing? What do you look like?
So Fotenhauer, for those of you that need a touch up or whatever, is a paramilitary group that kind of prides themselves on being like exceptionally well organized, exceptionally professional, very clean cut. It's kind of where a lot of his attitude kind of comes from. So he's just, when you see him, he's wearing kind of typical Fotenhauer, high ranking power armor of sorts. Maybe not mega super strong and sophisticated, but just kind of the basic for an officer, a mister, if you will. He likes black, both for camouflage reasoning and kind of part of his personality. But being as this is 10 years ago, it's a different Sicarian that you're looking at. This is not the quiet, kind of withdrawn, Sicarian who's around people that he might silently respect but doesn't necessarily view as, you know, brothers in arms or like, well, he gets there with the group, we know that, but for a lot of what we did see of him, he was a lot more kind of quiet and pulled back. So this is a younger Sicarian who is in this situation, just very much so in completely focused on getting these people out of here okay and executing the mission. But as always, slick black hair, emerald green eyes, and a lot less crow's feet around the eyes, a lot less scarring, a lot less tension. And if it weren't a battle, you'd see more jokes out of him, but that's what he looks like. That's what he's doing.
Cool. Cool. Okay. So we pan across a serious looking Mr. Sicarian, and crouched next to him behind cover, we see Mr. Fugazi. What does Mr. Fugazi look like, and how is he handling this ambush?
Well, describe the ambush.
Yeah, so you don't know where you're getting shot from. The tank you were escorting like hit a mine or got hit with an RPG or something. There's like hilly terrain around with some damaged buildings. You're on the outskirts of the city, so it's kind of like the suburbs. But all these houses have been bombed out and kind of are knocked down. And so there are enemy forces, members of the Royal Occupation Force, firing on you, and you're basically surrounded. You don't know how many of them there are, but you know we're seeing, you know, laser blast firing at you from all directions. And you're all kind of crouched down behind this collapsed wall, trying not to get shot in the head.
Sure. So, you know, I have my laser rifle out. And if you were to look at the other two soldiers, you'd probably notice that, like, while I'm wearing the same uniform, I have another vest that is obviously full of different types of little things, and the big giveaway is the giant field medic patch that I have on my side, you know, just like the giant cross. You know, if we're in a situation and we're just assessing the situation, I think Mr. Fugazi is just sort of, he gets a chem stick out and he lights it up and he's just waiting to hear what Mr. Sicarian says. But he's got, you know, just enough beard growth because I guess they've been in this battle a little bit, and wears his combat helmet with sunglasses. Doesn't like people to be able to see his eyes all the time. Other than that, you just kind of see a soldier, maybe just by looks a little rough around the edges, but.
Yeah, I definitely think we're getting that impression of like, yeah, you've been in the shit for a while, and like that original sort of clean cut military discipline for some characters might have waned a little. So yeah, having like a beard or like longer hair or whatever is totally something that you would kind of be able to do, unless it's something that your character wouldn't, right? Unless you were like really kind of on point,
right?
So,
right.
Cool. So yeah. So Fugazi just like smoking, waiting for orders. And next to you, we see Caitlin. We see your character, Mr. Lost. What does Mr. Lost look like?
Well, Mr. Lost is just chewing some tobacco while he looks down at his gun, just making sure everything's screwed in. I guess this is the laser rifle party. He's got his laser rifle, and he goes to like move his hair up to push his hair out of his face. You can see a clasp ring on his finger. And his hair is like very dirty blonde, but at the roots, it kind of looks gray. But you know, he's really not that old. He doesn't have like very deep fine or deep lines on his face. You know, his skin isn't perfect. It's a bit dirty too. So you think like maybe the gray hair is from stress or something, but he looks young. And then after he like pushes his hair back, it's kind of like, it's not too long, but it's like a little bit, there's a little bit of length. He just pops up his collar on his jacket. And right now his jacket is fully zipped up. And you know, being a new recruit, he doesn't have maybe the best armor, but he also has a lot of patches on his jacket. You know, they kind of look like they're like brands or something, but when you look at them, you don't recognize any of them. So yeah, just goes back to chewing tobacco. Guns assembled.
Cool. Okay. Cool. Cool. So, Sicarian, you know, you and Fugazi and Lost were all, you're all like of an equal rank, but you had a commanding officer, you had like a lieutenant who was like running the show. you were on a recon mission, right? Your mission was to recon the outskirts of Los Cantadas, which is the name of the city. It's been renamed Yukiyama Forward Base 6, but this is like enemy held territory. You're supposed to go and recon it and report back. But partway in, on the road in, tank hit a grav mine and shit got real. Your lieutenant is dead. He's lying dead as a doornail next to you. Maybe Fugazi, you tried to keep him alive, right? But he got like some shrapnel in the neck from the tank going off. And he just like right when we cut in, he's like breathing his last and coughs up some blood and then goes limp on the ground.
When he goes limp, I'm just gonna grab his stripes and I'm just gonna like shove them into Miss Sakarian's chest. Right. Like, I'm a field medic, and if he's the ranking officer, I'm just kind of, these are for you, buddy.
We're good on you, Mr. S.
So there's a couple of other, let's say there's like three other soldiers. They're not named soldiers, so they just have serial numbers. They're looking to you for like what the next thing to do is. You're getting this repeating message being shouted through a megaphone. Sakarian, actually, any of the characters that speak Japanese, I know like Mr. Sakarian, you do, right?
Yep.
They're just repeating like a command to surrender. They're like, if you throw down your weapons, you won't be harmed. You'll be taken as prisoners of war. And basically they're just repeating it, but they're also like, firing at you. So.
Okay. I guess it's Mr. Fukazi like hands me the ranking, whatever, stripes probably, something like that. I kind of like look down at it and then immediately just like put it in one of my pouches or whatever. But obviously I'm not going to apply it to myself. Give a nod and then look at the unnamed soldiers and say like, because you said we're surrounded, right?
As far as you can tell, if you want to, you can talk to them and get them together because they look like they're on the edge of panic, right? There's three of them and, they're crouched down and they're not crouched down in a tactical way. They're just like on the ground, like hands on their heads, like, because they're afraid of getting shot. There's really no cover. And you can hear them talking. Like one of them's like, what are we going to do? We should surrender. Like we got to throw down our weapons. They'll take mercy on us. Like it's fine, right? We'll get rescued. It'll rescue mission. But they're starting to kind of like lose their nerve. So you can take a minute to like look around and get an idea of the situation, or you can try to chill them out.
Wherever you want. I'm gonna kind of make a tactics roll to strategize what I'm gonna do with them, I guess.
Yeah. You can make a tactics roll to like look around, get your bearings.
And can I assist?
Yeah. What does that look like? Like when it happens in the fiction, like.
I think it would be something along the lines of like. We probably have some kind of drone technology mapping out the area, and I would just tap into that real quick and then divide, come up with a strategy, right? Something like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense. So you, you've got like built into your helmet or something, you can try to tap into some area surveillance. Okay. Sure. Well, let's see if it's working. It was fine before the mission, but this area is pretty hot. So make a,
Oh shit.
So you make a tech save, Mr. S, and we'll see if it's available first. And then if it is, I'll give you I'll use that to describe what you get on your tactics roll.
Okay. You want me to make the tech save, you were saying?
Yeah, why don't you make it?
All right. Where is that? It's over here. I'm level 5, so it's a 14. Fail.
Okay. All right. So you go to bring up the overlay and it just comes back static and says surveillance unavailable. You also notice that your comms are being jammed.
Okay. Then I guess what I would do is I'd, depending on how bad the fire is or whatever, I'd crawl over to the other soldiers and just say, I'm going to create a diversion. I need you to flank around behind. We can't stay surrounded. We'll die here.
Okay. Fugazi, while Mr. S was trying to like get his helmet cam working, did you still want to make a tactics roll? You want to like pop up and look around?
Yeah. Yeah. I would.
Okay. So yeah, hit it. Okay. I think that it's not so much that you can't get, it's not that you don't know what's going on necessarily, but as soon as you like pop up a little bit to take a look around, you get a laser blast right next to your head. They got a real good bead on where y'all are at.
How many laser blasts?
I mean, just the one now, but like you're getting, they're laying down suppressive fire to keep
There's at least one asshole over there.
Awesome. Mr. Lost, what are you going to do?
I mean, I'm probably not going to take a shot at them until I'm commanded to do so. Mm-hmm. Can I also like scope out, is there an opening somewhere where they aren't?
Yeah, you can look for one. Do you want to make a tactics roll?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool.
What's the attribute for it?
In this case, intelligence is going to be the attribute for this one. All right, cool. Yeah, yeah, Mr. Lost, you get a pretty good idea. So what are you looking for particularly? Are you looking for a target or like what do you want to know about the situation?
You know, if God forbid we had to run some way, retreat some way.
You're looking for like better cover or like somewhere you can fight from?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, there's a slightly more put together building. It's actually got two stories. There's like a little little building. Like maybe like it'd be a hard run if you're under fire, but you could probably get there if you got everybody running. It's just like across the street past the tank, but it looks like and I think when you look up, you see the reflection from the moonlight of the glass of someone's like scope or binoculars, like somebody's up there. If you could unseat them from that that building, you could make a dash for cover in that little two story area, and that would give you a lot better place to fight from.
Does it look like glass on a scope or just like?
Yeah, it's definitely like binoculars or a scope for sure.
Okay. I'll just wait with that information.
Okay. All right, so Sicarian, sorry, you wanted to do something?
Yeah, I was, like I said, I crawled over to the soldiers and said, right. I'm going to create a diversion. I need you to flank around behind him. And then I guess I look back at Mr. Lost and Mr. Fugazi and just say, cover me. And then signal to the soldiers. Then I just get up and run towards whoever's shooting at him.
Okay, so the soldiers...
How we start things.
Like, yeah, the soldiers like, but sir, what about... And you just take off.
Yep.
Okay. Make a leadership test for me. I want to see if they if they can get their shit together long enough to like
prepare. Oh good. Got nothing in that.
And it's with charisma.
Oh, don't worry. It's Sicarian. I have +1 in dexterity and nothing else. I get an awesome 3.
Okay. All right. So they're like, they see you go running and they look at each other and like, cover him. And they're like, you fucking cover him.
No, I didn't tell them to do that. I told them to flank.
Right. And so they're shouting at each other. They don't know what to do. And they like, yeah, they're paralyzed with fear. Sure. And where are you going? Where are you headed?
Like I said, right. If the guys are, I mean, I guess we're surrounded. So wherever the biggest concentration of fire is coming from.
Okay, so Mr. Fugazi and Mr. Lost, you see Sicarian get up and just like run towards the enemy.
I also tell them to cover me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You keep cutting out the parts that are kind of important here, Adam. I tell them to flank. I tell them to cover me. Right. I guess they failed, so they're not going to do it.
And the moment that he does, I turn around. I start firing some rounds out there.
Yeah, you want to lay down some cover fire? Okay. Yeah. Mr. Lost, what are you going to do?
Oh, I keep thinking you're saying something else. Mr. Lost. Yeah, I'm firing too, for sure.
Okay.
Just, like, love killing guys.
All right, so why don't you both expend 3 from your laser rifle magazines. So just spend 3 shots. And Mr. Sicarian, why don't you make a evasion save? That's one of the saves, right? Yeah, make an evasion save with a +2 to see if any of them get a chance to shoot you. If you succeed, you'll get to cover and be able to fire at them.
Okay.
I mean, you'll get there anyway, but if you fail, then they'll take a shot.
Sure. Okay. I fail.
All right. So the covering fire holds some of them back, but one of the soldiers gets to take a shot at you. Mm-hmm. What's your armor class right now?
One.
Okay. Cool. All right. So let's take a look here. Target one. Let's see. No, they miss. So your armor takes a hit. You get like the bright flash of laser fire hit your power armor, but the suit reports no damage. And you throw yourself down into some cover. There's a like a ditch at the side of the road, and now you can see just up the hills a little bit behind. I think like a row of like burned out vehicles. You can see like four riflemen.
But I don't take cover. I just keep running. Like the whole idea is of trying to distract them so that they can get flanked. If that's not happening, I don't know that because I'm running at these guys.
Yeah, yeah. So I just mean this is the place where you like stop and see them, and then you can keep running. But if you run forward, you'll hit that wall of vehicles. So do you want to go around, or you just want to run and jump over it?
Yeah, this is exactly episode one of Skip already.
Okay. Okay. So I think you'll get shot at a couple more times. Mm-hmm. But now because of your forward charge, actually let me make a save for them to see if they bail. See if they fall back. Because they didn't expect that. So I'll make a mental save for them. No. Okay. Yeah. So they turn. They start to retreat as you like run up because I think they expect like more people to come behind you. So on the one side, you've made a little bit of an opening and lost you and you and Fugazi. You see like there's a clear shot to that building aside from the sniper. So you don't have the withering fire from one side. They're falling back to try. The ones you rushed are falling back to try to get like. Better.
Let's do one thing real quick though before we move to Spoon. Not to do this too often because usually when you look into the Twitch chat, you come away with eye cancer. But guys, stop saying plot armor and shit like that. Like it's, if I die or if I get hurt, obviously he doesn't die because it's the past. But it'll be functional in the game. Like I'm not doing this because I'm like Adam can't hurt me. If you're in this and you're watching and you think I'm going to play three or four episodes knowing I can't be touched and that would be fun for me. Fucking idiot of levels that like are beyond the scope of humanity. So just stop. Anyways, getting back to the game. So when they turn to run and they're routed at this point, or at least those guys are, I think I pull up my gun and start firing at them.
Okay, you want to take a shot at them as they run? Okay. Yes. So you're gonna shoot. And Lost and Fugazi, what are you gonna do?
Well, I can see those guys are stalling, right? They're not getting to it.
Which?
The ones that were told to flank.
Oh, yeah, your dudes? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so before I take a shot, I yell at them, and I'm like, fucking flank. Like, what are you doing? I would have fucking fired you by now, and I just spit some of my tobacco at them.
Okay, awesome. Make a leadership roll. And you can do it with charisma.
With charisma? I'm good on that. There's lots of tab between the... in the
sheets. 10. There you go. All right. So they get their shit together long enough that they're like, yeah, flank. Got it. And they take off up one side to try to flank the dudes that are running and also to avoid you spitting on them.
they evade save the chewing tobacco.
Exactly. Evade save. They take off down one way. And Fugazi, what are you doing?
I mean, I'm not gonna let those guys just go in and right there. They're still going out and are vulnerable, right?
Yeah.
Then I want to lay down some covering fire for them too.
Okay, cool. So here, let me I'll do like a real quick drawing of kind of where all this shit is at.
Okay.
So, like, y'all have cover over here, and then there's a little grav tank, and then up in this corner, there's, like, a building. None of this is to scale. It's just to kind of...
Are you drawing on a different page?
I'm going to drag you over.
Ah, oh, there we go.
Grav tank on fire.
Fucking graph tank.
There you go. Okay, so up in the top left, you can see this is where that little sniper nest is. It'd be good cover to get a shot on the rest of the battlefield. You are all down, or you were all down here at the bottom. And then Mr. Sicarian ran this way towards the dudes that were up on the hill up here. And then the flankers, which way, Mr. Lost, which way do you want them to go? Because you're getting basically like there's, you know, wherever these X's are, there's people kind of shooting in your general direction. So.
I'm assuming Mr. S told them which way to go, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're the one that made the successful leadership check, so you can tell them where.
All right, just so the two X's are us?
Yeah. Yeah, you're the green.
And then the X and the green is what?
So yeah. Right,
so I mean the box and the yeah.
That's the cover that Mr. Lost spotted.
Gotcha.
That's a good tactical area, but there's a sniper up there. So.
Okay. So they start running right, and I'm like, no, like where are you going? Like go around the other cover, but watch out for the sniper in the tower.
So you want to send them this way?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. So yeah, that's where they go. They start running that way. And so they're going to come under fire from everybody from like, I guess not 9 o'clock to 6 o'clock.
Hopefully the other guys won't notice them as much, right? Like better flank.
Yeah. Should there be some kind of advantage for the, I mean, I'm literally standing in the middle, purposely not seeking cover and now firing at guys.
Yep. Yeah. So that's what's keeping all of these guys up here on the north side, like running away from you or trying to find better cover. The three dudes in here will get shot at, and it's reduced the amount of cover coming or the amount of fire coming from down here onto Lost and Fugazi.
May I take my shot then, Seth?
Yeah. You might as well. Their armor class is let me see. I believe it's 4.
Okay. I think for people's viewing pleasure, then, when he pulls up his gun, we recognize it to be the classic plasma projector. He's like the heavy guns guy for the group, or was, before he went up. So, 4, you said?
Yeah, armor class 4.
And I am a, hang on, plus 5, so plus 9. Haven't shot a gun in this for a while.
Okay, Sicarian, you're doing great, man.
Sicarian, I thought you were a legend. What's going on?
Still doing his job.
So you fire the plasma projector. You hit like there's like a like an old desert like scrub tree that just it's like firing hot plasma and busted up tree in all directions. Lost and Fugazi, are you taking shots at anybody?
I mean, I was gonna lay down covering fire for the other guys. I don't know if that would help distract.
Yeah. So, do you want to fire which group do you want to fire at? The ones over here or the ones closer to you?
When you ping the ones over here, let me zoom.
Yeah, sorry. The far left or the, I guess the west or the south ones.
Yeah, probably the west ones.
Okay.
Because they would probably have the best chance of hitting them.
Sure. Just making notes of where they are and how many hit points they have. Okay. So go ahead and make your attack roll. These guys have a little bit of cover, so their AC is only 2.
Okay. So it's just D20 plus 2 then?
Plus your if you have a laser weapon, so it's got a plus 1 to hit bonus. So yeah. D20 plus 1 plus whatever. Do you have you don't have a dex mod, but do you have any ranks above 0 in energy weapons?
I did decide to purchase that, so yes, but well, it will pull it from my sheet, right?
Yeah, if you're alone.
Okay. Okay. And enemy AC is 2?
Yep, that's right.
Gotcha. And no.
No. Okay. All right.
It's so early Fotenhauer Day, guys. It's early Fotenhauer days.
Yeah, nobody learned how to use guns yet. It's okay. He's not a warrior. It's fine. So you're firing at them, but you're just hitting this like this cover that they've got back behind you. I think you're in the suburbs. So you're probably like firing across a yard. There's maybe like a melted swing set kind of like sitting in the dirt, and these guys are behind a like a concrete embankment, and you fire at them, but you just hit the concrete. Fires up in the air, and they're still like the loudspeaker is still coming on at you, and they're like, "Put down your weapons. You obviously cannot defeat us. We have you surrounded. If you want, an honorable capture, there's no dishonor in giving up." Right? And they're like just repeating this really loud message to you, and the dudes, your three privates, they run towards that building, Loss, that you pointed out. So I'm gonna take a couple of shots at them.
Under cover fire, though, right? So maybe a negative, you think? Or
yeah, I'll give them a bonus to their AC. So we'll call them AC. Call them AC 2 as well.
Negative 20.
Okay. So first shot, and a second shot on them.
The D20 and a D8.
Oh, the D8 rolls in case I hit, and then it'll show the damage. Oh, it rolls both at once.
Damn!
Wow, look at that.
Okay. He's really good at this roll 20 thing.
Now, okay. So one of your guys, XF2112, he takes a hit as you're running. This is the guy who's like the comms dude. He's the guy with the big radio backpack. He runs a little slower than the other two. There's a man and a woman, and they're giving her for this building. And then 2112 slows down, and we see in slow motion like a laser shot hit him in the thigh, and he screams and like falls and like rolls with his bag. He's alive, but he goes down. So I think Mr. Lost, you were the one that gave him the order. You see them run. You see this happening. What do you want to do?
Well, I have my gun focused on the three guys in the north, so I want to make those flanks succeed. And then I hear that sound, so I know what's happened.
Yeah.
And I look behind my back at the guy in the northeast, and I'm just like, what an awful spot. That guy's never going to hit me. No problem with that. So I line up to shoot the guy in the building.
Okay, yeah, you want to try and take a shot at the sniper?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Boss.
So I think you, what does it look like? Do you have anything like you do before you set up the shot, or is this just kind of like an aim and fire kind of deal?
Maybe I just like make sure my collar's popped, and then I like nestle into it some more.
It's very important.
Very important. It's like neck cover or something.
Yeah. You can shoot better if your collar's popped. Focuses your energy. All right, so Mr. Lost pops the collar, gets in there, and get your scope up, and I think we see through your scope, Mr. Lost. We see the like edge of the building and the broken window and the glass. We can see the end of a laser rifle like out through the window, and we can see the little crosshairs like trying to get in on the guy. And before you take the shot, let's take a break.
Oh damn!
We'll grab our first break, and then you can sniper your way to victory when we return. So stick around. Part 2 of Swan Song Stories when we get back.